This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Warriors, Number 6, The Darkest Hour, by Aaron Hunter. Performed by MacLeod Andrews. Prologue. Rain fell steadily, drumming on the hard black thunderpath that led between unending rows of stone two-leg nests. From time to time, a monster snarled past, its eyes glaring, and a single two-leg scurried along, huddled into its shiny pelt. Two cats slipped silently around the corner, keeping close to the walls where the shadows were deepest. A skinny gray tom with a ragged ear and bright watchful eyes went first, every hair on his body slicked dark with the wet. Behind him prowled a huge tabby with massive shoulders and muscles that slid smoothly under his rain-soaked pelt. His amber eyes glowed in the harsh light, and his gaze shifted back and forth as if he expected an attack. He paused where the dark entrance to a two-leg nest offered a little shelter and growled,
"How much farther? This place stinks."
The gray tom glanced back.
"Not far now."
"It had better not be."
Grimacing, the dark brown tabby padded on, ears twitching irritably to flick away the raindrops. Harsh yellow light angled across him, and he flinched as a monster roared around the corner, throwing up a wave of filthy water that reeked of two-leg rubbish. The cat let out a snarl as the water slopped around his paws and the spray drizzled down on his fur. Everything about the two-leg place disgusted him. The hard surface under his paws, the stench of monsters and the two legs they carried in their bellies, the unfamiliar noises, and most of all, the way he could not survive here without a guide. The tabby was not used to depending on another cat for anything. In the forest, he knew every tree, every stream, every rabbit hole. He was considered the strongest and most dangerous warrior in all the clans. Now his sharpened skills and senses were useless. He felt as if he were deaf, blind, and lame, reduced to following his companion like a kit trailing helplessly after its mother. But it would be worth it. The tabby's whiskers twitched in anticipation. He had already launched a plan that would turn his most hated enemies into helpless prey in their own territory. When the dogs attacked, no cat would suspect that they had been lured and guided every step of the way. And then, if things went according to plan, his expedition into Two-Leg Place would give him all he had ever wanted. The gray cat led the way along the path and across an open space reeking of two-leg monsters, where a swirl of color from unnatural orange light floated on the puddles. He stopped by the entrance to a narrow alley and opened his jaws to draw in the scent of the air. The tabby halted and did the same, disgustedly swiping his tongue over his lips at the stink of rotting two-leg food.
"Is this the place?" he asked.
"This is it,"
the gray warrior replied tensely.
"Now remember what I told you. The cat we're going to meet holds command over many cats. We must treat him with respect."
"Boulder, have you forgotten who I am?"
The tabby took a step forward so that he towered over his companion. The skinny gray cat's ears flattened.
"No, Tiger Star, I haven't forgotten. But you're not clan leader here."
Tiger Star grunted.
"Let's get on with it," he growled.
Boulder turned into the alley. He stopped short after just a few paces when a huge shape loomed up in front of them.
"Who goes there?"
A broad-shouldered black and white cat stepped out of the shadows. Strong muscles were outlined under fur plastered to his body by the rain.
"Identify yourselves. We don't like strangers here."
"Greetings, Bone,"
the gray warrior meowed steadily.
"Remember me?"
The black and white cat narrowed his eyes and was silent for a few moments.
"So you've come back, have you, Boulder?"
he meowed at last.
"You told us you were going to find a better life in the forest. What are you doing here?"
He took a step forward, but Boulder held his ground, unsheathing his claws against the uneven ground.
"We want to see Scourge."
Bone let out a snort, half contempt, half laughter.
"I can't imagine that Scourge will want to see you. And who's this with you? I don't recognize him."
"My name is Tiger Star,
I've come from the forest to speak with your leader.
Bone's green eyes flicked from Tiger Star to Boulder and back again.
What do you want with him?
He demanded. Tiger Star's amber gaze burned like the two-leg lights reflected on the shining wet stones around them.
I'll discuss that with your leader, not his border patrol.
Bone bristled and extended his claws, but Boulder quickly slipped between him and Tiger Star.
Scourge needs to hear this, he insisted. It could be to every cat's advantage.
For a few heartbeats, Bone hesitated, and then he stepped back, allowing Boulder and Tiger Star to pass. His hostile glare scorched their fur, but he said nothing. Now Tiger Star took the lead, treading cautiously as the light faded behind them. On either side, skinny cats were slinking behind piles of rubbish, eyes gleaming as they followed the progress of the two intruders. Tiger Star's muscles tensed. If this meeting went wrong, he might have to fight his way out. A wall blocked the end of the alley. Tiger Star stared around, looking for the leader of these cats of two-leg place. He was expecting an even more massive creature than the broad-shouldered Bone, and at first his gaze swept over the small black cat crouching in a shadowy doorway. Boulder gave him a nudge and jerked his head in the black cat's direction.
There's Scourge. That's Scourge?
Tiger Star's exclamation rang with disbelief above the falling rain.
He's no bigger than an apprentice.
Shh!
Panic flared in Boulder's eyes.
This may not be a clan as we know it, but these cats would kill if their leader ordered them to. It seems I have visitors.
The black cat's voice had a brittle, high-pitched sound, like the splintering of ice.
I wasn't expecting to see you again, Boulder. I heard you'd gone to live in the forest.
Yes, Scourge, I have, Boulder replied.
So what are you doing here?
Scourge's voice held the faintest suggestion of a snarl.
Have you changed your mind and come crawling back? Do you expect me to welcome you?
No, Scourge.
Boulder held the black cat's ice-blue gaze.
It's a good life in the forest. There is plenty of fresh kill, no two legs.
You haven't come to extol the virtues of forest life.
Scourge interrupted him with a flick of his tail.
Squirrels live in trees, not cats.
His eyes narrowed, glinting with a pale fire.
So what do you want?
Tiger Star stepped forward, shouldering the gray warrior aside.
I am Tiger Star, the leader of Shadow Clan, he growled. And I have a proposition for you.
Chapter 1 Watery shafts of light sliced through the bare trees as Fireheart carried his leader to her final resting place. With his teeth clenched firmly in her scruff, he retraced the route the dog pack had taken as the brave warrior of ThunderClan lured them to the gorge and their destruction. His whole body felt numb, and his head spun with the terrible realization that Blue Star was dead. Without his leader, the forest itself seemed different, even stranger to Fireheart than the day he had first ventured into it as a kitty pet. Nothing was real. He felt as if the trees and rocks could dissolve like mist within a moment. A vast, unnatural silence covered everything. With the rational part of his mind, Fireheart realized that all the prey had been scared away by the rampaging dog pack. But in the grip of his grief, it seemed that even the forest was stunned into mourning for Blue Star. The scene at the gorge replayed over and over in his head. He saw again the slavering jaws of the dog who led the pack, and felt its sharp teeth meet in his scruff. He remembered how Blue Star had appeared out of nowhere, flinging herself at the dog, driving it and herself over the edge of the gorge and into the river. He flinched again at the icy shock of the water as he leaped in to rescue his drowning leader and their hopeless struggles until two River Clan warriors, Mistyfoot and Stonefur, came to help them. Most of all, Fireheart recalled his dismay and disbelief as he crouched beside his leader on the riverbank and realized that she had sacrificed her last life to save him and all of ThunderClan from the dog pack. As he bore Blue Star's body home with the help of Mistyfoot and Stonefur, he kept pausing to scent the air for fresh traces of dog, and he had already sent his friend Graystripe to scout the territory on either side of their trail, searching for signs that the dogs had caught any of the ThunderClan cats in their desperate race for the gorge. So far, to Fireheart's relief, they had found nothing. Now, skirting a bramble thicket, Fireheart set down his lifeless leader once more and raised his head to drink in the air, thankful to taste only the clean scents of the forest. A moment later, Graystripe appeared around a clump of dead bracken.
"Everything's fine, Fireheart," he reported. "Plenty of broken undergrowth, but that's all."
"Good," Fireheart meowed. His hope rose that the dogs that had escaped the fall into the gorge had fled in terror, and the forest once again belonged to the four clans of wildcats. His clan had lived through three terrible moons when they had become prey in their own territory, but they had survived.
"Let's keep going. I want to check that the camp is safe before the clan comes back."
He and the River Clan warriors took up Blue Star's body again and carried it through the trees. At the top of the ravine that led down to the camp entrance, Fireheart paused. He briefly remembered the early morning when he and his warriors had followed the trail of dead rabbits that Tiger Star had laid to lure the dog pack to the ThunderClan camp. At the end of the trail, they had found the body of the gentle Queen Brindleface, slaughtered to give the savage dogs a taste for cat blood. But now everything seemed peaceful. And when Fireheart tasted the air again, he could detect only cat scent coming from the camp.
"Wait here," he meowed. "I'm going to take a look."
"I'll come with you,"
Graystripe offered instantly.
"No."
It was Stonefur who spoke, flicking out his tail to bar the gray warrior's way.
"I think Fireheart needs to do this alone."
Flashing a grateful look at the RiverClan deputy, Fireheart began picking his way down the ravine, his ears pricked for any sound of trouble ahead, but the strange silence still reigned over the forest. As he emerged from the gorse tunnel into the clearing, Fireheart paused to glance warily around. It was possible that one or more of the dogs had never made it to the gorge, or that Tiger Star had sent Shadow Clan warriors to take over the camp, but all was quiet. Fireheart's fur prickled with the strangeness of seeing the camp deserted like this. Yet there was no sign of danger, and still no scent of dogs or Shadow Clan. To be sure the camp was safe, he rapidly checked the dens and the nursery. Memories came unbidden. The bewilderment of the clan as he told them about the dog pack. The heart-pounding terror of the chase through the forest with the breath of the pack leader hot on his fur. At the foot of the high rock, listening to the wind whispering through the trees, Fireheart thought back to the time Tiger Star had stood here, boldly facing his clan as they discovered the true depth of his treachery. He had sworn undying vengeance as he was sent into exile, and Fireheart was sure that his bloodthirsty attempt to set the dog pack on the cats of ThunderClan would not be his last attempt to fulfill his oath. Last of all, Fireheart prowled cautiously through the fern tunnel to Cinderpelt's den. Glancing through the entrance, he saw the medicine cat's healing herbs neatly ranged beside one wall. The strongest memory yet flooded over him of Spotted Leaf and Yellowfang, who had been ThunderClan medicine cats before Cinderpelt. Fireheart had loved them both, and grief for them swept over him again to mingle with his grief for his leader. "Blue Star is dead," he told them silently. "Is she with you now, in StarClan?" Retracing his steps along the fern tunnel, he returned to the top of the ravine. Graystripe was standing on watch while Mistyfoot and Stonefur gently groomed the dead leader's body.
"Everything's fine," Fireheart announced. "Graystripe, I want you to go to Sunning Rocks now. Tell the clan that Blue Star is dead, but nothing more. I'll explain everything when I see them. Just let them know that it's safe to come home."
Graystripe's yellow eyes brightened.
"On my way, Fireheart."
He spun around and tore off through the forest, heading for Sunning Rocks, where the clan had gone to hide while the dogs were following Tiger Star's trail of rabbit blood to their camp. Stonefur, crouching beside Blue Star's body, let out a purr of amusement.
"It's easy to see where Graystripe's loyalties lie," he remarked.
"Yes,"
Mistyfoot agreed.
No cat ever really thought he would stay in RiverClan.
Graystripe's kits had been born to a RiverClan queen, and for a while, he had gone to RiverClan to be with them. But in his heart, he had never left ThunderClan. Forced into battle against his birth clan, he had chosen to save Fireheart's life, and the RiverClan leader Leopardstar had banished him from her clan. Her sentence of exile, Fireheart reflected, had freed the Grey Warrior to return to where he truly belonged. With a nod of acknowledgement to the RiverClan warriors, Fireheart took up Blue Star again, and the three cats maneuvered her body down the ravine and into the camp. At last, they could lay her down in her den beneath the High Rock, where she would remain until her clan had said farewell to her and buried her with all the honor that such a wise and noble leader deserved. "Thank you for your help," Fireheart meowed to the RiverClan warriors. Hesitating for a moment, knowing only too well the significance of his invitation, he added, "Would you like to stay for Blue Star's burial ceremony?"
"That is a generous offer,"
Stonefur replied, showing only a flicker of surprise that Fireheart should admit members of a rival clan to something so private.
"But we have duties in our own clan. We must be getting back."
"Thank you, Fireheart,"
meowed Mistyfoot.
"That means a lot to us. But your clan will think it strange if we stay. They don't know, do they, that Blue Star was our mother?"
"No," Fireheart told her. "Only Graystripe. But Tiger Star overheard what you and Blue Star said to each other on the riverbank. You must be prepared in case he chooses to reveal it at the next gathering."
Stonefur and Mistyfoot exchanged a glance.
Then Stonefur drew himself up, his blue eyes gleaming defiantly.
"Let Tiger Star say what he likes,"
he meowed.
"I'll tell RiverClan myself today. We're not ashamed of our mother. She was a noble leader, and our father was a great deputy."
"Yes,"
Mistyfoot agreed.
"No cat can argue with that, even if they did come from different clans."
Their courage and determination reminded Fireheart of their mother, Blue Star. She had given them up to their father, Oakheart, the RiverClan deputy, and the two cats had grown up believing that they had been born in RiverClan. At first, they had hated Blue Star when they learned the truth, but this morning, as she lay dying on the riverbank, they had found it in their hearts to forgive her. In the midst of his pain, Fireheart was relieved beyond words that his leader had been reconciled with her kits before she went to StarClan. He alone, of all the ThunderClan cats, knew how much Blue Star had suffered, watching them grow up in another clan.
"I wish we'd known her better," Stonefur meowed sadly, as if he could read Fireheart's thoughts. "You're lucky to have grown up in her clan and been her deputy."
"I know."
Fireheart looked down sorrowfully at the blue-gray she-cat lying so still on the sandy floor of the clearing. Blue Star looked small and helpless now that her noble spirit had left her body and gone to hunt with StarClan.
"May we say goodbye to her alone?"
Mistyfoot asked tentatively.
"Just for a few moments."
"Of course," Fireheart replied. He padded out of the den, leaving Stonefur and Mistyfoot to crouch down beside Blue Star's body and share tongues with their mother for the first and last time. As he skirted the High Rock, he heard the sound of cats approaching through the gorse tunnel. Hurrying forward, he saw Frostfur and Speckletail creep timidly into the clearing, hesitating in the shelter of the tunnel before they dared venture back into the camp. With the same wariness, Brackenfur and Goldenflower followed. Pain stabbed Fireheart's heart to see his cats so wary of their own home, and his eyes sought out one warrior in particular, Sandstorm, the pale ginger she-cat he loved. He needed to know that she was unhurt after the crucial part she had played in luring the dog pack away from the camp. Fireheart spotted his nephew, Cloudtail. The white warrior was carefully escorting Lostface, a young cat who had suffered terrible injuries from the dog pack before it attacked the camp. Next, Cinderpelt came limping through the entrance with a bundle of herbs in her mouth, and pushing eagerly behind her were Bramblepaw and Tawnypaw, the two newest apprentices who were also Tiger Star's kits. At last, Fireheart saw Sandstorm padding along beside Willowpelt, while Willowpelt's three kits bounced around them, happily unaware of the crisis their clan had endured. A purr swelled in Fireheart's throat as he ran toward Sandstorm and pressed his muzzle into her flank. The pale orange warrior covered his ears with licks, and when he looked up at her, he saw a warm glow in her green eyes.
I was so worried for you, Fireheart, she murmured. I couldn't believe the size of those togs. I've never been so scared in my life.
Nor have I, Fireheart confessed. All the time I was waiting, I kept thinking they might have caught you.
Caught me?
Sandstorm pushed away from him. The end of her tail was twitching, and for a heartbeat, Fireheart thought he had offended her, until he saw the sparkle in her eyes.
I was running for you and the clan, Fireheart. It felt as if I had the speed of Star Clan.
She paced into the center of the clearing and looked around, her expression clouding.
Where is Blue Star? Graystripe told us she was dead.
Yes, Fireheart replied. I tried to save her, but the struggle in the river was too much for her. She's in her den. He hesitated before adding, Mistyfoot and Stonefur are with her. Sandstorm turned to him, her fur bristling with alarm.
There are River Clan cats in our camp? Why?
They helped me pull Blue Star out of the river, Fireheart explained. And she's their mother. Sandstorm froze, and her eyes grew huge.
Blue Star? But how?
Fireheart interrupted her by pressing his muzzle against hers. I'll tell you all about it later, he promised. Right now I have to make sure the clan is okay. While they were speaking, the rest of the clan had appeared through the gorse tunnel and begun to gather in a ragged circle around Fireheart and Sandstorm. Fireheart spotted Fernpaw and Ashpaw, the two apprentices who had begun the race to lure the dogs away from the camp. Well done, both of you, he meowed. The young cats let out a purr.
We hid in the hazel thicket where you told us, and jumped out as soon as we saw the dogs,
mewed Ashpaw.
Yes, we knew we had to keep them away from the camp,
Fernpaw put in. You were very brave, Fireheart praised them. Once again, he remembered the limp body of Brindleface, the apprentice's mother, murdered by Tiger Star. I'm proud of you, and your mother would be proud too. Ashpaw shrank, suddenly looking like a fragile kit.
I was terrified,
he admitted.
If we'd known what the dogs were like, I don't think we'd have dared to do it.
We were all terrified, Dustpelt meowed as he came up and gave Fernpaw a gentle lick. I've never run so fast in my life. You two did brilliantly. Though he praised his own apprentice equally, the warmth in Dustpelt's gaze was all for Fernpaw. Fireheart managed to hide his amusement. The brown tabby warrior's affection for her was no secret. You did well too, Dustpelt, Fireheart meowed. The clan owes thanks to all of you. Dustpelt held Fireheart's gaze for a moment before he gave him a little nod of acknowledgement. As he turned away, Fireheart spotted Cloudtail gently guiding Lostface past and stopped them to ask, Are you okay, Lostface?
I'm fine,
the young she-cat replied, though she glanced around nervously with her good eye.
Are you sure none of the dogs got this far?
I checked the whole camp myself, Fireheart told her. There's no sign of any dogs.
She was very brave at Sunning Rocks,
meowed Cloudtail, touching his muzzle to Lostface's shoulder.
She helped me keep watch from a tree.
Lostface brightened.
I can't see as well as I used to, but I can listen and scent.
Well done, Fireheart meowed. You too, Cloudtail. I was right to rely on you.
They've all done well.
That was Cinderpelt's voice. Fireheart turned to see her limping toward him with Mousefur just behind her.
There was no panic at all, not even when we heard the pack howling.
And every cat's okay? Fireheart asked anxiously.
They're all fine.
The medicine cat's blue eyes glowed with relief.
Mousefur tore a claw when she was running from the dogs, but that's all. Come on, Mousefur, I'll give you something for it.
As Fireheart watched them go, he realized that Whitestorm had appeared beside him.
Can I have a word with you?
Of course.
I'm sorry. Whitestorm's eyes were full of anguish. I know you asked me to take care of Blue Star when we were fleeing from the dogs, but she slipped away from Sunning Rocks before I realized she'd gone. It's my fault she's dead.
Fireheart narrowed his eyes at the older warrior. For the first time, he noticed how exhausted he looked, Although White Storm was the senior warrior of ThunderClan, he had always seemed strong and vigorous, his white coat sleek and well-groomed. Now he looked 100 seasons older than the cat who had left camp that morning.
"That's ridiculous," Fireheart insisted. "Even if you had noticed that Blue Star had gone, what could you have done? She was your leader. You couldn't have made her stay."
White Storm blinked.
"I didn't dare send another cat after her. Not with the pack loose. All we could do was sit up in the trees around Sunning Rocks and listen to the howling."
A shudder ran through his body.
"But I should have done something."
"You did everything," Fireheart told him. "You stayed with the clan and kept them safe. Blue Star made her own decision in the end. It was the will of Star Clan that she died to save us." White Storm nodded slowly, though his eyes were still troubled as he murmured, "Even though she had lost all faith in Star Clan." Fireheart was aware of the secret they shared, that in her last moons, Blue Star's mind had begun to give way. Shocked to the core by the discovery of Tiger Star's treachery, Blue Star had begun to believe that she was at war with her warrior ancestors. Fireheart and White Storm, with Cinderpelt's help, had managed for the most part to keep the knowledge of their leader's weakness from the rest of the clan, but Fireheart also knew that Blue Star's feelings had changed during the last moments of her life. "No, White Storm," Fireheart replied, thankful that there was some comfort he could offer the gallant old warrior. "She made her peace with Star Clan before she died. She knew exactly what she was doing and why. Her mind was clear again, and her faith was strong." Joy tempered the pain in White Storm's eyes, and he bowed his head. Fireheart realized how devastating Blue Star's death must be for him. They had been friends throughout a long life. By now, the rest of the clan had crept into the circle around Fireheart. He could see the traces of their terrible experience still in their eyes, along with fear for the future. Swallowing uncomfortably, he realized that it was his duty now to calm those fears.
"Fireheart," Brackenfur asked hesitantly, "is it true that Blue Star is dead?"
Fireheart nodded. "Yes, it's true.
She died saving me.
And all of us."
For a moment, he thought his voice would fail completely, and he swallowed hard. "You know that I was the last cat on the trail to lead the dogs to the gorge. When I was almost at the edge, Tiger Star leaped out at me and held me down so that the pack leader caught up to me. He would have killed me, and the dogs would still be loose in the forest if it hadn't been for Blue Star. She threw herself at the dog right on the edge of the gorge, and they both went over."
He could see a ripple of distress sweeping across his clanmates, like wind stirring the trees.
"What happened then?"
Frostfur asked quietly. "I went in after her, but I couldn't save her." Briefly, Fireheart closed his eyes, remembering the churning water and his hopeless struggle to keep his leader afloat. "Mistyfoot and Stonefur from RiverClan came to help me when we had been swept clear of the gorge," he went on. "Blue Star was alive when we got her out, but it was too late. Her ninth life was over, and she left us to join Star Clan."
A yowl of grief came from somewhere among the circle of cats. Fireheart realized that many of the cats had not even been born when Blue Star became leader, and losing her now must feel as if the four great oaks of four trees had been torn up overnight. He raised his voice, forcing it not to shake.
"Blue Star isn't gone, you know. She's already watching over us from Star Clan. Her spirit is here with us now."
Or in her den, he thought privately, sharing tongues with Stonefur and Mistyfoot.
"I would like to see Blue Star now,"
meowed Speckletail.
"Where is she? In her den?"
She turned toward the entrance, flanked by Dappletail and Smallear.
"I'll come with you,"
Frostfur offered, springing to her paws. Alarm shot through Fireheart. He had hoped to give Mistyfoot and Stonefur as much time as possible with their dead mother, but he suddenly realized that apart from Graystripe and Sandstorm, no cats even knew that the two RiverClan warriors were in the camp.
"Wait,"
he began, shouldering his way through the circle. It was too late. Speckletail and Frostfur were already standing in the entrance to Blue Star's den, their fur bristling and their tails fluffed out to twice their normal size as they confronted the strange cats. A menacing snarl came from Frostfur.
What are you doing here?
Chapter 2. As Fireheart bounded across to Blue Star's den, Speckletail spun around to face him. Her eyes were burning with anger.
There are two River Clan cats here, she growled, mauling our leader's body.
No, they're not, Fireheart gasped. They've a right to be here. He realized that the rest of the clan had gathered anxiously behind him, and he heard Cloudtail yowling a challenge with snarls of rage breaking out all around. Fireheart whirled to face them.
Keep back, he ordered. It's all right. Mistyfoot and Stonefur.
You know they're here?
The voice was Darkstripe's. The dark tabby thrust his way through the crowd to stand nose to nose with Fireheart.
You let enemy cats into our camp? Into our leader's den?
Fireheart took a breath, forcing himself to stay calm. He deeply mistrusted the black-striped tabby. When the clan had been preparing to escape the dog pack, Darkstripe had tried to slip away with Tigerstar's kits. He had sworn that he knew nothing of Tigerstar's plot to destroy ThunderClan with the dogs, but Fireheart was not sure he believed him.
Have you forgotten what I told you? He asked. Mistyfoot and Stonefur helped me to pull Blue Star out of the river.
So you say, Darkstripe spat. How do we know you're telling the truth? Why should RiverClan cats help ThunderClan?
They've helped us often enough in the past, Fireheart reminded him. More of us would have died after the fire if RiverClan hadn't given us shelter. That's true, meowed Mousefur.
She had returned with Cinderpelt from the medicine cat's den in time to hear the confrontation, and now she pushed forward to stand beside Darkstripe.
But it's no excuse to leave them alone in the den with Blue Star's body. What are they doing in there?
We're giving honor to Blue Star,
Stonefur spoke defiantly, and Fireheart turned his head to see that the RiverClan deputy and Mistyfoot had appeared in the mouth of the den. They both looked taken aback at the reaction of the ThunderClan cats, their fur beginning to bristle as they realized they were being treated as intruders.
We wanted to say goodbye to her, Mistyfoot meowed. Why?
Mousefur demanded. Fireheart's stomach clenched as Mistyfoot faced the light brown she-cat and answered,
She was our mother.
Silence fell, broken only by the call of a blackbird from the edge of the camp. Fireheart's mind raced as he faced the shocked, hostile stares of his clan. His gaze met Sandstorm's. She looked dismayed, as if she guessed that Fireheart would never have chosen for ThunderClan to discover their leader's secret like this.
Your mother, growled Speckletail. I don't believe it. Blue Star would never have allowed her kits to be raised in another clan.
Believe it or not, it's true,
Stonefur retorted. Fireheart stepped forward, warning Stonefur to stay silent with a flick of his tail. I'll deal with this now. You and Mistyfoot had better go. Stonefur gave him a curt nod and took the lead as he and Mistyfoot made their way toward the gorse tunnel. Fireheart heard one or two furious hisses as the ThunderClan cats parted to let them pass.
The thanks of the clan go with you,
Fireheart called out after them, his voice echoing thinly off the high rock. Mistyfoot and Stonefur didn't respond. They didn't even turn to look back before they vanished into the tunnel. Every hair on Fireheart's pelt prickled with the desire to turn and run from his new responsibilities. The secret that had been so heavy to keep, that Blue Star had given up her kits to another clan, would be heavier still in the sharing. He wished that he had been given more time to think of what to say, but he knew that it was better for his clan to hear the truth from him now, instead of from Tiger Star at the next gathering. As clan leader, he had to face the task, however little he liked it. Dipping his head to Cinderpelt, he bounded up onto the high rock. There was no need to summon the clan. They were already turning to look up at him. For a heartbeat, Fireheart was breathless, unable to speak. He could see their anger and confusion, and smell their fear scent. Darkstripe was watching him with narrowed eyes, as if he were already planning what to tell Tigerstar. Bleakly, Fireheart reflected that Tigerstar already knew. He had heard what Blue Star said to her kits as she lay dying by the river. But the Shadow Clan leader would certainly be pleased to hear about ThunderClan's confusion and Fireheart's own difficulties. Tigerstar was sure to find a way to twist it to his advantage in his quest for revenge against ThunderClan and his efforts to recover his kits, Bramblepaw and Tawnypaw. Fireheart took a deep breath and began.
It's true that Mistyfoot and Stonefur are Blue Star's kits,
He struggled to keep his voice steady and prayed to Star Clan to give him the right words so that the cats would not turn against Blue Star. Oak Heart of River Clan was their father. When her kits were born, Blue Star gave them to him to be brought up in his clan.
How do you know? Snarled Frostfur. Blue Star would never have done that. If the River Clan cats said so, they're lying.
Blue Star told me herself, Fireheart replied. He met the white cat's gaze. Her eyes blazed with fury, her teeth were bared. But she did not quite dare to accuse him of lying.
Are you telling us she was a traitor?
She hissed. One or two cats yelled a protest. Frostfur spun around, fur bristling, and Whitestorm rose to face her. Though the senior warrior looked stunned with shock, his voice was steady as he meowed.
Blue Star was always loyal to her clan. If she was so loyal, Darkstripe put in. Why did she let a cat from another clan father her kits?
Fireheart found that question hard to answer. Not long ago, Graystripe had taken a mate from River Clan, and his kits were growing up there now. The ThunderClan cats had been so horrified that Graystripe had felt he couldn't stay in his birth clan any longer. Although he had returned, some cats still felt hostile to him and doubted his loyalty.
Things happen, Fireheart replied. When the kits were born, Blue Star would have brought them up to be loyal ThunderClan warriors, but...
I remember those kits.
This time the interruption was from Small Ear.
They disappeared out of the nursery. We all thought a fox or a badger had gotten them. Blue Star was distraught. Are you saying that was all a lie?
Fireheart looked down at the old gray tomcat.
No,
he promised. Blue Star was devastated at the loss of her kits, but she had to give them up in order to become clan deputy.
You're telling us her ambition meant more to her than her kits?
Asked Dustpelt. The brown warrior sounded puzzled rather than angry, as if he couldn't reconcile this image with the wise leader he had always known.
No, Fireheart told him. She did it because the clan needed her. She put the clan first, just as she always did.
That's true, Whitestorm agreed quietly. Nothing meant more to Blue Star than ThunderClan.
Mistyfoot and Stonefur are proud of her courage, both then and now, Fireheart went on. As we should be.
He was relieved when there were no more open challenges, though the tension among the clan cats did not die away completely. Mousefur and Frostfur were muttering together, casting suspicious glances up at him. Speckletail, tail tip twitching, stalked across to join them. But Whitestorm moved from one cat to another, clearly backing up what he had said, and Small Ear was nodding wisely, as if he respected the hard decision Blue Star had made. Then a single voice rose clearly out of the hum of conversation.
Fireheart,
Tawny Paw piped up.
Are you going to be our leader now?
Before Fireheart could reply, Darkstripe sprang to his paws.
Except a kitty pet as clan leader? Are we all mad?
It's not a question, Darkstripe, Whitestorm pointed out, raising his voice above shocked exclamations from Sandstorm and Graystripe. Fireheart is clan deputy. He succeeds Blue Star. That's all there is to it.
Fireheart flashed him a grateful glance. The fur on his shoulders had begun to bristle, and he deliberately relaxed so that it lay flat again. He would not let Darkstripe see that his challenging words had provoked him. Yet he could not stifle a moment of doubt. Blue Star had appointed him deputy, but her mind had been clouded by the shock of Tiger Star's treachery, and the whole clan had been shocked because the ceremony had been late. Could that possibly mean he was not the right cat to lead ThunderClan?
But a kitty pet!
Darkstripe protested. His yellow eyes glared balefully up at Fireheart.
Stinking of two legs and their nests! Is that what we want as our leader?
Fireheart felt the familiar rage burn in his belly. Even though he had lived with the clan since he was 6 moons old, Darkstripe never let him forget that he was not forest-born. As he struggled with the desire to leap down and sink his claws into Darkstripe's fur, Goldenflower rose to her paws and stepped forward to face the dark warrior.
You're wrong, Darkstripe,
she growled.
Fireheart has proved his loyalty to the clan 1,000 times over. No clan-born cat could have done more.
Fireheart blinked his thanks to her, surprised that Golden Flower of all cats should have supported him so determinedly. She knew of Fireheart's suspicions that her kit Bramblepaw would end up as dangerous as his father, Tigerstar. Though he had taken Bramblepaw as his own apprentice, he never felt comfortable around the young cat, and Golden Flower knew it. She had defended her kits fiercely against what she thought was Fireheart's unreasonable hostility. It was all the more surprising now that she should stand up for him against Darkstripe.
Fireheart, don't listen to Darkstripe,
Brackenfur added his voice to Golden Flower's.
Every cat here wants you as leader, apart from him. You're obviously the best cat for the job.
A murmur of agreement rose from the cats around the high rock, and Fireheart's heart swelled with gratitude.
And who are we to go against the decrees of Star Clan?
Mousefur added.
The deputy always becomes clan leader. That is the tradition of the warrior code.
Which Fireheart seems to know rather better than you do,
Graystripe hissed, flicking his tail contemptuously at Darkstripe. He knew as well as Fireheart that the Dark Warrior had plotted with Tigerstar before the dog attack. Fireheart gestured with one paw to his friend for silence before addressing the whole clan.
I promise you that I will spend the rest of my life striving to become the leader that ThunderClan deserves. And with StarClan's help, I will succeed.
His gaze was drawn instinctively to Sandstorm, and he felt warmth spread into his paws and the tip of his tail when he saw how proud she looked.
As for you, Darkstripe, Fireheart spat, unable to hide his anger. If you don't like the thought of being led by a kitty pet, you can always leave.
The Dark Warrior lashed his tail. There was pure hatred in the look he threw Fireheart. If I had never come to the forest, Fireheart realized, Tigerstar would be leader now, and you would be deputy. He had never intended to provoke a public confrontation with Darkstripe, but the Dark Tabby had driven him to it. Though ThunderClan could not afford to lose any warriors, a large part of Fireheart wanted Darkstripe to take him at his word and leave the clan for good. Yet at the same time, he knew that Darkstripe would go straight to ShadowClan and Tigerstar. It was better, Fireheart admitted to himself, to keep his enemies apart. Darkstripe would be less of a threat in ThunderClan, where Fireheart could keep an eye on him. The black-striped warrior went on staring at him for a few heartbeats more, before whipping around to stalk away. But he did not head for the gorse tunnel. Instead, he vanished into the warrior's den.
Right.
Fireheart raised his voice as he turned back to the rest of the clan.
Tonight we will hold the morning rituals for Blue Star.
Hang on!
Cloudtail sprang to his paws, tail fluffed up.
Aren't we going to attack Shadow Clan? They slaughtered Brindleface, and they led the dog pack to our camp. Don't you want revenge?
His fur was bristling with hostility. Brindleface had been Cloudtail's foster mother when he first came to ThunderClan as a helpless kit. But Fireheart knew that attacking ShadowClan right now was not the answer. He signaled with his tail to silence the yowls of agreement that had broken out as soon as Cloudtail spoke.
No, he meowed. This is not the time to attack ShadowClan.
What?
Cloudtail stared at him disbelievingly.
You'd let them get away with it?
Fireheart took a deep breath. ShadowClan didn't kill Brindleface or lay the trail for the dogs. Tigerstar did. Every rabbit on the trail had his scent on it, and no other cats. We can't be sure that Shadow Clan even knew what their leader was planning. Cloudtail let out a snort of contempt. Fireheart fixed his former apprentice with a hard stare, willing him not to argue about this now. He knew that what had happened was due to the moon's old enmity between himself and Tigerstar. The Shadow Clan leader would have been pleased to wipe out ThunderClan and take its territory for his own, but that was not his real motive for bringing the pack of dogs to the camp. What Tigerstar wanted more than anything else was to destroy Fireheart. Only then would he have his full revenge for the time when Fireheart had revealed his plot to kill Blue Star and driven him into exile. Sooner or later, Fireheart now knew. He would have to come face to face with Tigerstar in a final confrontation that only one of them could survive. He prayed to StarClan that when the time came, he would have the courage and strength to rid the forest of this bloodthirsty cat.
Believe me,
he meowed out loud, addressing the whole clan. Tiger Star will pay, but Thunder Clan has no quarrel with Shadow Clan. To Fireheart's relief, Cloudtail sat down again, his blue eyes blazing with anger, and muttered something to Lost Face. Nearby, Goldenflower was crouched with her tail wrapped protectively around Bramblepaw and Tawnypaw, as if they were still young kits. She had made Fireheart himself tell the young cats what Tiger Star had done, and she was always afraid that the clan would judge them harshly because of their father's crimes. As Fireheart gave his decision not to attack, she visibly relaxed, and the two apprentices eased away from her. Bramblepaw flashed a look at Fireheart from narrowed amber eyes, and Fireheart wondered if he saw hostility there. He pushed the problem of Bramblepaw to the back of his mind as he looked out over the assembled cats. Long shadows were stretching across the camp, and Fireheart realized that the time had come for the clan to make its last farewells to their beloved leader. "We must pay our respects to Blue Star," he announced. "Are you ready, Cinderpelt?" The medicine cat nodded. "Graystripe, Sandstorm," Fireheart went on. "Can you bring Blue Star's body out into the clearing so that we may share tongues with her in the sight of Star Clan?" The two warriors got up and vanished into Blue Star's den, reappearing a moment later with their leader's body supported between them. They carried her to the center of the clearing and laid her gently onto the hard-packed sand. "Sandstorm, round up a hunting patrol," Fireheart ordered. "When you've said goodbye to Blue Star, I'd like you to stock up the fresh kill pile. And Mousefur, when you have finished, could you lead a patrol out toward Snake Rocks and the Shadow Clan border? I want to be sure that all the dogs have gone, and that there are no Shadow Clan cats on our territory. Be careful, though. Don't take risks."
"Sure, Fireheart."
The wiry brown tabby got to her paws.
"Goldenflower, Longtail, are you coming?"
The cat she had named went to join her, and all three moved into the center of the clearing to share tongues with their leader for the last time. Sandstorm followed with Dustpelt and Cloudtail. Cinderpelt stood at Blue Star's head and gazed into the indigo sky, where the first stars of Silverpelt were beginning to appear. According to the ancient traditions of the clans, each star represented the spirit of a warrior ancestor. Fireheart wondered if there was one more star tonight for Blue Star. Cinderpelt's blue eyes shone with the secrets of Star Clan.
"Blue Star was a noble leader,"
she meowed.
"Let us give thanks to Star Clan for her life. She was dedicated to her clan, and her memory will never fade from the forest. Now we commend her spirit to Star Clan. May she watch over us in death, as she always did in life."
A soft murmuring spread throughout the clan as the medicine cat finished speaking and stood with her head bowed. The warriors Fireheart had chosen to go out on patrol crouched beside Blue Star's body, grooming her fur and pressing their noses to her flank. After a while, they backed away and other cats took their place, until all the clan had shared tongues with their leader in the sorrowful ritual. The patrols left and the other cats retreated silently to their dens. Fireheart stood watching near the base of the high rock, and as Brackenfur moved away from his leader's body, he stepped forward to intercept the young warrior. "I've got a job for you," he murmured. "I want you to keep an eye on Darkstripe for me. If he so much as looks across the border to Shadow Clan, I want to know about it." The young Ginger Tom gazed at him, alarm battling with loyalty to his new clan leader.
"I'll do my best, Fireheart, but he won't like it."
"With any luck, he won't know about it. Don't make it too obvious, and ask one or two of the others to help you. Mousefur, maybe, and Frostfur." Seeing that Brackenfur was still doubtful, Fireheart added, "Darkstripe may not have known about the dogs, but he knew that Tiger Star was planning something. We can't trust him."
"I can see that," Brackenfur meowed, his eyes troubled. "But we can't watch him forever."
"It won't be forever," Fireheart assured him, "just until Darkstripe proves where his loyalties lie, one way or the other." Brackenfur nodded, then slipped silently into the warrior's den. With no more problems clamoring for his attention, Fireheart was able to cross the clearing to Blue Star's body. Cinderpelt still sat near her head, and Whitestorm was crouched beside her,
his head bowed in grief. Fireheart dipped his head to the medicine cat. He settled himself beside Blue Star, searching her face for signs of the leader he had loved so much. But her eyes were closed, never again to burn with the fire that had commanded respect from all the clans. Her spirit had gone to race joyously through the sky with her warrior ancestors, keeping watch over the forest. He felt the soft caress of his leader's fur and felt a sense of security flood over him, almost as if he were a kit again, curling up close to his mother. For a moment, he could almost forget the horror of her dying and the loneliness of his new responsibilities. "Receive her with honor," Fireheart prayed silently to Star Clan, closing his eyes and pressing his nose to Blue Star's fur. "And help me keep her clan safe." Chapter 3. Something was prodding Fireheart in the side. With a muffled mew of protest, he opened his eyes to see Cinderpelt stooping over him.
"You dozed off,"
she murmured.
"But you'll have to wake up now. It's time to bury Blue Star."
Fireheart staggered to his paws. He flexed each stiff leg in turn and passed his dry tongue over his lips. He felt as if he had been crouching in the clearing for a moon at least. The sense of comfort he had felt as he slept was replaced by a wave of guilt.
"Did any cat see?"
he muttered to Cinderpelt. The medicine cat's blue eyes glimmered with sympathy.
"Only me. Don't worry about it, Fireheart. No cat would blame you after what happened yesterday."
Fireheart glanced around the clearing. The pale light of dawn was just beginning to seep through the trees. A few tail lengths away, the elders had assembled to carry out their duty of bearing Blue Star's body to the burial place. The rest of the clan were slowly emerging from their dens, forming two lines between Blue Star's body and the entrance to the gorse tunnel. At a nod from Cinderpelt, the elders took up the body and carried Blue Star between the rows of her grieving warriors. Every cat bowed his head as their leader was borne past.
"Goodbye, Blue Star," Fireheart murmured. "I'll never forget you."
Sharp thorns of pain pierced his heart when he saw the tip of her tail scoring a furrow in the blackened leaves that still lay on the ground after the recent fire. When Blue Star had vanished with her escort, the rest of the cats began to disperse. Fireheart checked the camp, noticing with approval that the pile of fresh kill had been stocked up. All he needed to do was send out the dawn patrol. Then he could eat and rest. He felt as if a moon of sleep would not be enough to banish the exhaustion from his paws.
"Well, Fireheart?"
meowed Cinderpelt.
"Are you ready?"
Fireheart turned, puzzled.
"Ready?"
"To go to the Moonstone to receive your 9 lives from Star Clan."
The tip of Cinderpelt's tail twitched.
"Fireheart, surely you hadn't forgotten."
Fireheart shuffled his paws uneasily. Of course he hadn't forgotten the ancient ceremony to initiate all new clan leaders, but somehow he hadn't realized that it would take place right away. He felt dazed by the speed with which everything was happening, bearing him forward relentlessly like the swift waters of the gorge that had almost drowned him. Fear rose in his throat, and he had to swallow quickly. No leader ever spoke of the mystic rite, so no other cat, except for the medicine cats, knew what happened there. Fireheart had visited the Moonstone before and watched Blue Star share tongues with Star Clan in her sleep. That experience had been awe-inspiring enough. He could not imagine what would happen when he had to lie beside the sacred stone himself and share dreams with his warrior ancestors. On top of this, he knew that High Stones, where the Moonstone lay in a cavern far underground, was a whole day's journey away, and the ritual demanded that he not eat beforehand, not even the strengthening herbs that other cats took for the journey.
"Star Clan will give you strength,"
meowed Cinderpelt, as if she had read his thoughts. Fireheart muttered in vague agreement. Glancing around, he spotted Whitestorm on his way to the warrior's den and summoned the older warrior with a flick of his tail.
"I've got to go to High Stones," he meowed. "Will you take charge of the camp? We'll need a dawn patrol."
"Consider it done," promised Whitestorm, and added, "Star Clan go with you, Fireheart."
Fireheart took a last look around the camp as he followed Cinderpelt toward the gorse tunnel. He felt as if he were going on a long journey, farther than he had ever traveled before, where the prospect of return looked doubtful. And in a way, he never would return. For the cat who came back would have a new name, new responsibilities, and a new relationship with StarClan. As he turned away, a yowl sounded behind him. Graystripe and Sandstorm were racing across the clearing.
"You weren't sneaking off without saying goodbye,"
Graystripe panted, skidding to a halt. Sandstorm said nothing, but she twined her tail with Fireheart's and pressed close to his side. "I'll be back tomorrow," Fireheart meowed. "Listen," he added awkwardly, "I know things will be different now, but I'll never stop needing you, both of you. No cat ever had such good friends." Graystripe butted him in the shoulder.
"We know that, you stupid furball," he mewed.
Sandstorm's green eyes shone as she gazed into Fireheart's.
"We'll always need you too, Fireheart," she murmured. "And you'd better not forget that."
"Fireheart, come on,"
Cinderbelt called from where she was waiting at the entrance to the Gorse Tunnel.
"We have to reach Highstones by nightfall. And remember, I can't move as fast as you."
"Coming," Fireheart gave each of his friends a quick lick before plunging into the Gorse Tunnel after the medicine cat. His heart felt full of hope as he caught up to her and made his way to the top of the ravine. He might have been leaving his old life behind, but he could take with him everything that was important. The sun was up in a clear blue sky, and the frost had melted from the grass by the time the two cats reached Four Trees, where the gatherings were held between all four clans every full moon. "I hope we don't meet a Wind Clan patrol," Fireheart remarked, as they crossed the border onto the high, exposed moorland, leaving the shelter of the forest behind them. Not long before, Blue Star had tried to launch an attack on Wind Clan, accusing them of stealing prey from Thunder Clan. Fireheart had disobeyed his leader and risked accusations of treachery to avoid a battle. Although Tallstar, the Wind Clan leader, had been prepared to make peace, Fireheart could imagine that the Wind Clan cats might still bear a grudge.
"They won't stop us," Cinderpelt replied calmly.
"They might try," Fireheart argued. "I'd rather avoid them altogether." His hopes were dashed as he and Cinderpelt reached the crest of a stretch of moorland and saw a Wind Clan patrol picking their way through the heather a few fox lengths below. They were downwind, so Fireheart had not detected their scent as a warning. The leader of the patrol raised his head, and Fireheart recognized the warrior Tornier. His heart sank when he saw that his old enemy Mudclaw was just behind him, with an apprentice Fireheart didn't know. He and Cinderpelt waited as the Wind Clan cats bounded through the heather toward them. There was no point in trying to avoid them now. Mudclaw curled his lip in a snarl, but Tornier dipped his head as he halted in front of Fireheart.
"Greetings, Fireheart. Cinderpelt," he meowed. "Why are you here on our territory?"
"We're on our way to Highstones,"
Cinderpelt replied, taking a step forward. Fireheart felt a surge of pride to see the respectful nod the WindClan warrior gave to his medicine cat.
"No bad news, I hope?" Tornier asked.
Cats did not usually travel to Highstones unless a crisis in their clan demanded direct communication with StarClan.
"The worst,"
Cinderpelt meowed steadily.
"Blue Star died yesterday."
All three WindClan cats bowed their heads. Even Mudclaw looked solemn.
"She was a great and noble cat," Tornier meowed at last. "Every clan will honor her memory."
Raising his head again, he turned to Fireheart with a look of curiosity and respect in his eyes.
"So, you're to be the leader now?"
he asked.
"Yes,"
Fireheart admitted.
"I'm going to receive my 9 lives from StarClan."
Tornier nodded, his gaze traveling slowly over the warrior's flame-colored pelt.
"You're young," he commented. "But something tells me you'll make a fine leader."
Thank you,
Fireheart stammered, taken by surprise. Cinderbelt rescued him.
"We mustn't stay,"
she meowed.
"It's a long way to Highstones."
"Of course,"
Tornier stepped back.
"We'll tell Tallstar your news. May StarClan be with you,"
he called as the two ThunderClan cats bounded away. On the edge of the uplands, they paused again and looked down over a very different landscape. Instead of bare hillside broken by outcrops of rock and patches of heather,
Fireheart saw a scattering of two-legged nests among fields and hedgerows. In the distance, the thunderpath cut a swath across the land, while beyond that, jagged hills reared up, their barren slopes looking gray and threatening. Fireheart swallowed. That desolate region was where they were heading. He realized that Cinderpelt was looking at him with understanding in her blue eyes.
"Everything's different," Fireheart confessed. "You saw those WindClan cats? Even they don't treat me in the same way anymore."
He knew he could never say these things to anyone except the Medicine Cat, not even to Sandstorm.
"It's as if every cat expects me to be noble and wise, but I'm not. I'll make mistakes just like I did before. Cinderpelt, I'm not sure I can do this."
"Mouse brain?"
Fireheart was both shocked and comforted by the teasing tone in Cinderpelt's voice.
"When you make mistakes, not if, Fireheart, when, I'll tell you about them. Believe me."
More seriously, she added,
"And I'll still be your friend, no matter what. No cat that ever lived was perfect all the time. Blue Star wasn't. The trick is to learn from your mistakes and have the courage to be true.